ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं जये नस्तप्रेषो भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवद्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, Text Number 31. The demigods appeal to the Lord. Ime vayang yat priyayaiva tanva Satvena srishta bahirantaravi Gatingna sukshmam rishayascha vidmahe कुतौ सुराज्या इति प्रधान इमे दीज वयम वी द डेमिगॉड्स यत टू हुम प्रियया अपीयरिंग वेरी नियर एंड डियर एवा सर्टेनली तन्वा The material body, satvena, by the mode of goodness, srishta, created, bahiyantavi, although fully aware, internally and externally, gatim, destination, na, not, sukshmam, very subtle. Rishaya, great saintly persons. Cha, also. Vidmahe, understand. Kuta, how. Asuradya, the demons and atheists. Itara, who are insignificant in their identities. Pradhana, although they are leaders of their own societies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since our bodies are made of sattva guna, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constructions? Being situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, how can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Responsively, since our bodies are made of sattva guna, we, the demigods, are internally and externally situated in goodness. All the great saints are also situated in that way. Therefore, if even we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is to be said of those who are most insignificant in their bodily constitutions? being situated in the modes of passion and ignorance. How can they understand the Lord? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Srila Prabhupada's purport: atheists and demons cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although He is situated within everyone. For them, the Lord finally appears in the form of death, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Haras Chaham. Atheists think that they are independent, and therefore they do not care about the supremacy of the Lord. Yet the Lord asserts His supremacy when He overcomes them as death. At the time of death, their attempts to use their so-called scientific knowledge and philosophical speculation to deny the supremacy of the Lord cannot work. Hiranyakashipu, for example, was an exalted representative of the atheistic class of men. He always challenged the existence of God, and thus he became inimical even toward his own son. Everyone was afraid of Hiranyakashipu's atheistic principles. Nonetheless, when Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared in order to kill him, Hiranyakashipu's atheistic principles could not save him. Lord Nrisimhadeva killed Hiranyakashipu, took away all his power, influence, and pride. Atheistic men, however, never understand how everything they create is annihilated. The Supersoul is situated within them, but because of the predominance of the modes of passion and ignorance, they cannot understand the supremacy of the Lord. Even the demigods, the devotees, who are transcendentally situated or situated on the platform of goodness, are not fully aware of the qualities and position of the Lord. How then can the demons and atheists understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It is not possible. Therefore, to gain this understanding, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, offered their respectful obeisances to the Lord. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, been hearing from the demigods praising the Lord, and also here is talking about the different modes of material nature, those who are in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and how one who is overly proud, it's very difficult for him to surrender to the Supreme Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's describing the different modes of material nature. One situated in goodness, he may be philosophically inclined, teacher, and satisfied with his lifestyle, but sometimes he thinks to himself better than others, that he's in the mode of goodness and he's studying or maybe teaching some kind of philosophy. Then the mode of passion, one is driven by a desire to become much more productive. I want to live in this world, but I also want to enjoy the fruits of this material existence. That's what pretty much all of civilization is influenced by, the mode of passion, that everyone wants to have their land. Let's you know, chalk up the map and this is my territory, this is your territory, and let's exploit to the max so we can enjoy this material world. And even they may be very successful and have wealth and possessions and even be charitably inclined to give for good causes, and they're very proud of their accomplishments, but they're driven with unlimited desires to enjoy and exploit this material world. Then the mode of ignorance is basically people are lazy, sleeping all the time, indulge totally in the intoxication and ignorance, not really productive so much to achieve anything in this material world, nor are they interested in developing their spiritual consciousness. So there's a competition between the modes of material nature. Sometimes goodness is predominant, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. In this age that we're living in, Kali Yuga in particular, people are swimming in ignorance and passion. We all, at least most of us, were illusioned by living in the material existence. It's described that when the pure consciousness of the living entity comes in contact with this material world and the desire to enjoy and exploit the material world, our true nature is covered over. It's like a shackle of iron chains on the hands and feet. You can't really move freely. And the mind becomes the controlling factor of how to accomplish or how to achieve these insatiable desires and goals. They describe the material existence like a banyan tree upside down. If you go to the bank of a river, you see that the branches and leaves are heading down and the root is above. So the original root of existence is Krishna. He's the root cause of everything. And this material existence is also coming from Krishna. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. That this material manifestation is working under Krishna's direction. And the living entities who choose by their minute independence to come to this world are given opportunities to either be in goodness, passion, ignorance. But we're the architect of our own futures. If we take good association and good guidance, we can be, like sometimes you're lost. Many times we travel in India, you say, where's this place? You know, they say like okay, this way, you go like that. It's no real clear direction. And if we don't have clear direction, there's many roads you can easily get lost. So people are pretty much lost by only following their minds or following the dictation or the direction of persons who are cheaters. We've often heard when a teacher is there in Prabhupada's company and Prabhupada, this is a teacher. Oh, you're a teacher or are you a cheater? Because a teacher teaches what is the absolute truth, what is the goal of life, what is the purpose of life. Real knowledge, real education means how to get free from suffering, how to get free from this entanglement of repeated birth and death in this material world. The demigods are, of course, very happy that they're in a mode of goodness and that they have some understanding and realization that, you know, material world is a difficult, lousy place to be, and we have some preliminary understandings. Earlier we heard how if someone can count all the atoms in the universe, then he can begin to understand the transcendental, absolute, omniscient qualities of the Supreme Lord. So what scientist or what mathematician can count all the atoms of the universe? So obviously the absolute truth is very grand and very beyond the material atmosphere. So, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunyo Bhavarjuna. We need to come above the modes of material nature. We need to become freed from the shackles of the desire to enjoy the material world. And that doesn't happen easily. The only way that can actually happen is by taking good association, by approaching a spiritual teacher, and actually hearing from the self-realized soul. It's describing that also saintly persons, the great saints, are also situated in goodness. But by hearing from the supreme saint, Krishna, Krishna is the source of all saintliness for all the great saints, all the great yogis, mystics, and teachers. Teachers are all meant to give direction, and the ultimate teacher is Krishna himself in the form of Srila Vyasadeva, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. For those who are genuinely interested in spiritual life, for those who really want to put an end to the suffering of repeated birth and death, they should take this instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. What does Prahlad say? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. Hearing, chanting, glorifying, remembering Krishna, serving Him, surrendering your life. But these activities, it's not that when one, now in the material world, because we're embodied, we have the body, so we're working and we're getting results in activities. Then when one decides that by good fortune and by guidance and the blessings of the spiritual master and Krishna, when he takes up the path of devotional service, bhakti, of actually selflessly wanting to render service to the Lord, and he achieves a higher spiritual platform, liberation doesn't mean that, oh, no more senses, no more activity. The devotees from Thailand were made a nice lunch, and we were talking about how the Buddhists, they talk about the perfection goal of life is to become nothing. You know, just kind of finish up your business and become nothing. Become one with the Supreme, or become Buddha. And the impersonalists have a similar idea that although we're fragmental portions of Krishna, Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, He's eternal. He's full of bliss, full of eternity. We also have spiritual bliss, eternity. From the spiritual world, the spiritual kingdom is self-illuminated by the Lord's effulgence. And there are transcendental activities going on in the spiritual world. When you've achieved that liberation, when you've achieved that state of Vasudeva, Vishuddha Sattva, pure consciousness, pure goodness, beyond the modes of material nature, you can speak with Krishna directly. You can hear Krishna. And you can experience the spiritual life. And this is the purpose of yoga. This is the purpose of meditation, to relink with Krishna, relink with God. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was reading that this Bhatta, was it Venkata Bhatta? He came to Jagannath Puri when Lord Chaitanya was there. And previously they met in Prayag, and the Lord accepted his invitations for luncheons and everything. And Venkata Bhatta, he was doing translation work of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was very eager and determined to have Lord Chaitanya hear his work, his translation and work. Lord Chaitanya says, you know, they're talking about the potency of the holy name and the process of self-realization. Lord Chaitanya says, all I know is the two names of God, Shyamasundar and Yashodanandana. Because I don't have capacity to understand beyond that. But Venkata Bhatta was insisting, no, you should hear. And because Lord Chaitanya did not take him seriously, then also Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Jagadananda, all the associates of the Lord also did not take him very seriously. And he was thinking, but if I can show my advanced knowledge, because you are a very scholarly person, you're a great brahmana, you know, and he thought, they're not listening, and so he was pretty much forcibly saying and reading from Bhagavatam, but he said that, I don't agree with Sridhar Swami's translation, I think he made some mistakes, I think my translation is better. He says, you're like a it's like a person who is very unfaithful. You become like a prostitute. He said, one who does not recognize Sridhar Swami as giving the illuminating translation as it is in the Guru Parampara, he's simply a fool and a prostitute. So in many ways, the pastime is there that Venkatabhatta finally realized that the Lord is not happy with me because of my pride, because of my thinking that I am very, you know, I'm a controller of this world and I've gained a lot of wisdom. So let me put forward my thoughts and people will appreciate me for my, great achievements. I mean, it's a beautiful pastime. It goes even deeper. But after the devotees of the Lord revealed to Venkatabhatta that you just take a humble position, one of service, then you get the association and the company of the devotees. So one who is driven without the Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, without developing this mood of humility and ready to offer respects to others and doesn't think oneself as something, you know, as God's gift to humanity, as they say, that I am very special. We're special because we're part of Krishna. We're special because we have that potency of serving Krishna. So we should utilize that potency. We should utilize our time and energy to serve Krishna. And by this service mood and by hearing and chanting, it's like a really, really dirty mirror. You're cleaning the mirror of the mind. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadevagni nirvapanam. Then we can have a glimpse of the spiritual God's existence. There's various descriptions throughout the Bhagavatam and throughout the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna creates. You know, from his head come the brahmanas, and his arm and chest kshatriyas, his belly the vaishyas, his legs the shudras. How society is set up in such a way that although we are entrapped and we are entangled by these modes of material nature and driven by desires, and every time we try to go after a particular desire, it creates, like the banyan tree, it says, it has unlimited branches and twigs, and you go from here to there to there. It's pretty much endless in the material world, like it's stuck in a maze that just continues life after life, samsara. The birth and death cycle continues on until we come by the good fortune of Guru and Krishna. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Krishna is in our heart, Sarvasya Chahang Hridi Sanavishto Matat Smritir Gyanam Apohanang Cha. He gives remembrance, he gives forgetfulness. Did you ever become mental? Like the other day, I had to lead the Mangalartik, and I thought, oh, I'm going to forget something. The last line, I sang, how many times you've sung something, and you start thinking that, oh no, I might do something wrong. For sure you're going to do it wrong. And that confidence comes from Krishna as well. The remembrance comes from Krishna. If we want to forget Krishna, he's very kind. Yes, you forget your spiritual kingdom, you forget your eternality, you forget that you don't belong in this world. You should just go ahead and work hard, work very hard. But this is the illusion. It's like the water seen on land in a desert, the illusion of happiness. And so when one feels the pain of suffering of material existence or is gifted with enough intelligence to know that, yes, this can't be everything, this material existence, and there must be a creator. Where have I come from? Why am I here in this world? What is the purpose and goal of life? And a little humility by taking shelter of the Guru, Tadviri Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyananas Tattva Darshana that we can learn the truth by approaching a bona fide spiritual master, inquire, submissively render service. The self-realized soul will impart knowledge because he has seen the truth. He's not affected by the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. He's on the Vasudev transcendental platform. He sees the spiritual essence in everything and everyone. Arjuna is asking Krishna, how do we recognize one who's freed from the influence of the modes of material nature? This is the chapter, I think 14, after the three modes of material nature. And Krishna is describing one who's equal-minded, one who sees pebbles and gold, and he sees everyone equally, and he's not affected by matras, parshasta, kaunti, ashitoshna, sukha, dukha, da. Oh, it's the heat and the cold. All the different dualities, you know, I'm happy, I'm angry, and all these things. One who becomes steady in his meditation, one who becomes fixed in his determination, he can actually move forward in life, in spiritual life. Here's describing how Jai and Vijay, Hiranyakashipu, came from the spiritual world, gatekeeper at Vaikuntha. Some people argue, oh, he was only at the gate. Because, you know, there are many theories and philosophies, not a leaf falls from Vaikuntha. But throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Prabhupada openly expresses that we've come from the spiritual kingdom. We have an eternal spiritual nature. And we can go back home to the spiritual. What does it mean to go back home? If you were never home, you got to go home. So we got to go back home, back to the spiritual kingdom. And the process is given. Obviously, every philosopher, every muni has his little twist and turn. So we want to follow Srila Prabhupada faithfully. We don't want to jump from master to master here and there. Although many people, I'm sure there are many spiritually advanced individuals who are in this world, but we've been made fortunate to come across such a pure-hearted Mahabhagavat. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada is very fond of Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, their teaching, their philosophy. And so we, in the same way, just like all these incredible stories in Srimad Bhagavatam, of all the perplexities from Chitraketu Maharaj, from Gajendra, and all the awkward situations that we find that different personalities found themselves, and then Narada Muni appears, Maitreya, and such beautiful guidance is given to them by God's representatives. Just even the story of Yamaraj, was that Mandaka Muni? He was going to be, you know, pierced by a lance, by a big, what do you call those things, lances?
Spear.
Huh? Spear, a big spear. And that when the king found out, he stopped immediately. What's happening here? And Mandaka Muni was a little bit upset with Yamaraj. Why have you put me through this ordeal? You know, he's a saintly person. His whole life is saintly. Oh, when you were a child, you pierced an ant with a straw through the rectum. So you have to suffer. He says, oh, you know, you're not qualified, and I curse you to become a Shudra, you know. But this was, Prabhupada is explaining that Yamaraj was tired of just judging and doing his service. Not tired, of course, you know, he's transcendental, but he wanted to preach. And so he came as Vidura, and he had an opportunity to preach and give guidance. So the Lord is sending and setting various examples, like when Hiranyakashipu came, he became so powerful that he had everyone under his control. Even all the demigods were fearful. Everyone is fearful of him. And the Lord also appeared just to show that I will give you protection under even the most severe, awkward situations. So we might think that, oh, my particular situation is the worst. You know, I have a disease or this suffering, my whole family, you know, is So many problems are there. We can. There's endless problems in the material world. And one who's a little bit perceptive, he understands my grandfather and great-grandfather, they passed away. My brothers and sisters and myself, I'm going to pass away. My children that I've produced, they're going to pass away. And we've seen how generation, repeated birth and death, repeated creation, it stays for some time, dissolution, gone. So, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. And there's no shelter, there's no cave, and there's no place that we can find that'll give us that ultimate peace and happiness that everyone is looking for, peace and happiness. It's not that the money will give us peace and happiness, that the big, Prabhupada said, the bungalow, you know, you have a nice apartment somewhere that, and you think that now I've become successful. You know, I'm giving charity, I have wealth, I have nice family, I have beautiful possessions, the finest clothes that money can buy. You know, the kings and the different aristocracy would always spend lavishly to try to show their achievements and accomplishments in this world. But it's not going to give us happiness. It's only forcing one to work harder like an ass. You know, we took a train back from Mumbai, and some of the local trains, you see them packed. You know, people are hanging off the sides of the trains. They're on top of the train. And I said, oh, there's something special. He goes, no, this is every day. Every day people going to work and coming back from work, practically risking their lives for just a little bit of few chapatis, hopefully some nice sabji, rice and dal, you know. All day working hard, slaving, the chains, Maituni Agra, the chains and shackles of material existence are there. So we have to take this guidance. All those who are here for Kartik, it's considered the best month of rivers. They say Ganges, the most sacred river. Krishna's favorite month, Damodar month, Kartik month. By performing a little bit of extra austerity during this month, one can achieve millions of times the benefit. We need Shraddha, we need faith in this. It's even by offering a lamp to the Lord, it surpasses so much yogic austerity, penance, because we may think, well, that seems like a real, like taking the elevator or something instead of taking the staircase. Yes, this is an accelerated special benefit, knowingly or unknowingly. So make an extra vow to follow some. There's recommendations. They say if you eat like once a day or increase your chanting, follow celibacy, read Bhagavad Gita every day, you'll achieve this awakening. And have faith in that. Take some vow. And I think personally, I think the best vow is increasing your hearing and chanting. You know, because by hearing, the more we hear from Krishna, the more we hear Bhagavad Gita, that steel-heartedness, that frame, that ego, envy, jealousy, pride, these are things which are keeping us bound to this world and keeping us from really becoming illuminated. That illumination comes when you see someone has Prabhupada, your disciples are so bright-faced. Why they're so bright-faced and happy? Because they're selflessly serving. They have no, they're not driven by lust, anger, greed, and passion. But one who's serving just for the sake of giving pleasure. This is what bhakti yoga is about. The Lord is there, the servant is there, and the process of service brings the whole combination together. So we should look at our service. Are we actually enthusiastic to assist Prabhupada? Are we enthusiastic to be participants in some small way in Lord Chaitanya's mission, Lord Chaitanya's army, if you become enthusiastic to participate in the battle, you know, you've seen the battle scenes, the commanders getting all the troops riled up, and then they start roaring. We start chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When Venkata Bhatta saw Lord Chaitanya dancing effulgently, he was like so mesmerized by the potency and strength of the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we're out performing the Sankirtan Yajna, the Lord Chaitanya is there. Lord Chaitanya is in everyone's heart. And when you're sitting together chanting the holy name, the Lord is present. May not have the vision or the eyes to see, but we're hearing, we're seeing through our ears by hearing. The Lord is very happy that we're performing this yajna. The Lord was very happy when Srila Prabhupada met Sridhar Swami in Mayapur, and even Sridhar Swami was elderly. He was praising Srila Prabhupada's achievements of spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission all over the world. No jealousy, just total appreciation. And this is how we should be. We should be full of appreciation for God brothers and God sisters' accomplishments. Not thinking that, oh, I'm better than everybody. What have they done? You know, look at all my achievements. Now, even great personalities very humbly came before the Lord, even though they were very qualified in our estimations. They just felt very humble and just very eager to serve. When you have if you have an assistant or someone who's helping you, if they're not so eager or enthusiastic, you think, never mind, it's not important. But if someone is genuinely thinking, how can I serve and really make you happy? You think, oh, this is nice. Not that, you know, you're appreciating just the service, but the mentality, isn't it? Real love comes when both are reciprocating and coming together in a very transcendental spiritual way. So we can come to that higher pleasure, parang drishtva nivartate, unless we have a higher pleasure, a higher happiness by being in the association of devotees, by chanting and dancing and taking prasadam together, then we're going to go back to our materialistic ways. We'll go back by the influence of maya, daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya daratyaya. Mamivaye prapadyante mayam etam darantite. This energy of Krishna is very difficult to get out of. We're deeply entangled. It's like you've seen Tarzan movie or something, the quicksand. They fall in the quicksand, there's no way out. You're just going down, down, down. Unless someone gives you a helping hand. So we're going down unless we take shelter. God brothers, God sisters, association of devotees is also the mercy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, I am the society, I am ISKCON. Your cooperation will bring success, but if we're all just simply fighting with one another, then this is not bringing happiness to Srila Prabhupada. And this is the material world, place of conflict, place of, you know, one wants to dominate the other. But that dominance is not going to make one satisfied. Real power, real clarity, real happiness comes by developing the mode of goodness and then pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, and that comes with the process of devotional service. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions, comments?
You are very jubilant and energetic Srila Prabhupada disciple and the president of Sri Krishna Balaram Mishkan Sri Vrindavan. Today is the first debut of Kartik month, And you can view with the chapter title, the demigods appeal to the Lord for protection. And Prabhuji Sri Bhagwan Vacha, Yat Yat Rachat Sreshta, Tat Devi
Parvati. What's your question?
Because you have given all the solutions in your debut discourse, and you gave us appeal how we can celebrate the holy month of Kartik with jubilant, energetic devotional service and the association of Lordship, Sri Prabhupada disciples. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Guruji. Okay.
So, as you were explaining that this Prabhupada wanted to release Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and all the stories. So, this is quite we can learn from them, we understand. And whatever I understand, this is the whatever we are in this material world, whatever we are doing, is all the plan of the Lord. The plan, He has given each and every plan that we have to execute in that plan. Even though just like in the train in Bombay, there are so many people are rushing, that they cannot come out from there because they see that thing is, they have to do them and that duty has to be to them. So sometimes it is difficult to understand what is the plan of the Lord.
Yeah, that's a very good question, that everything is the plan of the Lord. So people's entanglements in this material world is also the plan of the Lord. But the plan of the Lord, in one sense, He's providing according to our desires. Krishna's reciprocating. He's not some dead stone or some authoritative emperor. But He's the source of everything. He knows past, present, and future. He knows us, which way we're going, this way, that way. But that also can change. But when Krishna senses that the living entity is wanting spiritual life, or even not even wanting, but maybe just out of good fortune, one comes in touch with a pure devotee, then he can also change his destiny the way it was going. But Krishna also knows that. Just like we gave the example, who can count the amount of atoms in the universe? Then we can begin to understand a little fragment of Krishna's omnipotency, omnipotence. Krishna is so powerful and so great that by my material tongue and limited intelligence, even though we may give various examples, it's very difficult to understand. All we should know is that we're very good, we're very fortunate to be here hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, this way changing our future. I'm sure there's many answers to your question, but Gopal will answer.
I'd like to make a comment on that. So, as Acharya Prabhupada said, that the Lord is in control, He has a plan for everything. But because we have a limited amount of independence, sometimes our plans don't coincide with that of Krishna's. So therefore, He's obliging and says, fine, if this is what you want,
do it.
Do. And that's why this material world is here, and that's why we're all here now endeavoring to get out of this material world.
Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. Over here. Oh, you're from Mumbai too?
Yeah.
Did you come by train?
Sorry.
Did you come by train?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I used to travel by that, now I live in India. But my question is how to get out of this cycle. Like, obviously, you have to feed yourself, you have to feed your family, and take care of them, like your responsibility.
Right.
So you can't escape it. So you need to go out of it.
So, how do we get out of the. We all have duties, responsibilities, we're in this world, we have to work in such a capacity to take care of these things. Krishna wants us that we do our duty nicely, but the more we cultivate the knowledge by hearing his words, if we're hearing from Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada, endeavoring, although I'm taking care of my family, my mother and my father, I'm holding a job, even in the beginning days, Prabhupada said, no, we just want to serve you, Prabhupada, I want to quit our job. No, you go, even Brahmananda, he continued his teaching job, and do your job, but think of Krishna. On the way you're chanting Hare Krishna, all during the day you're chanting Hare Krishna, on the way back you're chanting the Lord's name, you're hearing the classes, and then Krishna, miraculously, he takes over by unlocking the chains. Because right now we're bound by responsibility of family, responsibility to our children and wife and mother and father, nation. We have many responsibilities. But all these responsibilities will slacken by the Lord's grace, that if you're making the endeavor, then they start evaporating. So although we find ourselves in a very difficult and very awkward situation, and almost like, I can't do devotional service because I'm too busy, Krishna gives you, you can't do this, then do this. So little by little, you start increasing your desire to be with Krishna, your desire to be liberated from these illusory chains which are keeping us here. And Krishna, just like Raghunath Das Goswami, wanted to immediately join Lord Chaitanya, but his parents were very diligent. He said, no, you go back, you do your duties nicely, and Krishna will arrange. So he did nicely his duties, then Krishna arranged to free him. So Prabhupada will free you, Krishna will free you, not irresponsibly. We're not saying to be irresponsible, negligent, ungrateful, for, if you find yourself in a situation, you're taking care of dependents, you should take care. But add Krishna to your life and he'll give you the intelligence and make the proper arrangements. Stay steady. Yes, you want to say?
Miracle, I said, that is Because birth and rebirth depends on karma rate, karma motion. And rebirth is the same kind. And then skipping to other is a puzzle to me. I believe Swamiji will throw some light on you. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that many people question sometimes. They think that when they come to the human form of life, that one cannot again achieve or go to others' lives like animal life. But this is simply a temporary covering, this material body, whether it's a demigod body, a human body, an animal body. And depending on the modes of material nature, if you're associated with mode of ignorance and passion, in the mode of ignorance you get animal body, mode of passion, you could go to different planets. Depending on your karmas, like you said, karmana daivana trena. But we can become free from all the entanglements of karma and all the different material forms which are available in this world only by the process of bhakti, by devotion. The more we read Bhagavad Gita, the more we read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we associate with devotees, we'll understand that we have a Satchitananda body, eternal spiritual body, but now it's covered over because of our desire to lord it over and enjoy this world. And you can get a variety of bodies. This is Krishna's arrangement. It's a big subject, and I appreciate that your depth and questioning, because obviously it's not easy to understand that we're not the body, we're eternal spirit soul. But it comes by the process of bhakti, by devotion. Krishna dissolves the external illusion and illuminates us from within to understand our spiritual nature. Thank you for your appreciation. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki. Arrivo.